here we go.
Yay, the worship pump.
Not physical, and I'm in a war, but not with this world. You are the light that's beautiful. I want more, I want all that's yours. Joy unspeakable that won't go away, and just enough strength to live for today, so I'll never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on God.
Come on, everybody, it's Blink 182 worship.
I'm in a fight, not physical. And I'm in a war, but not with this world. You are the light that's beautiful. I want more, I want all that's yours.
Here we go!
Joy unspeakable that won't go away, and just enough strength to live for today, so I'll never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on God. And the miracle of Christ in me is the mystery that sets me free. I'm nothing like I used to be. Just open up your eyes, you'll see. And the miracle of Christ in me is the mystery that sets me free. I'm nothing like I used to be. Just open up your eyes, you'll see. Joy unspeakable that won't go away, and just enough strength to live for today, so I'll never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. Joy unshakable that won't go away, and just enough strength to live for today, so I'll never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God.
Joy unspeakable
that won't go away, and just enough strength to live for today, so I'll never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God.
I'm out of breath. I jumped in practice, but I'm not doing it today, so.
You gotta sing one more, buddy.
I got a lot more today. Here we go. Ready?
One, two.
We've been talking about crazy love, so I want to hear some of that crazy love here today.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love.
Sing it out.
I'll love you. I will pray. So with all my mind, with all my strength, I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
My life is yours.
soul boundless light to humbly display your radiant love. Stir my soul,
keep my days. You got
it. Keep my days for your glory. Secure my heart for your way. My love for your name.
Set my gaze.
Set my gaze to the kingdom. Ignite my love for your name. Oh, 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 oh. I cling to you, oh.
Song that we're going to do, but I just want you to right now just worship the greatness of God in this place. The song's called Great Are You, Lord. And just worship Him. Just worship Him. And just thank your Father.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Let's sing that bridge again, all the earth.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord,
on the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will ring. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, God, for your praise and your presence right here with us. And Lord, as we continue in this service and we just worship and focus on you, you are so great and so mighty. And as we spent 8 weeks after today on this love that we should have for you, this crazy love, because just to respond back to you, God, we just ask right now that your Holy Spirit just come in this place in might and power and touch our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that nobody go anywhere. Just go ahead and sit. We're going to do communion today. We're going to do it here at this point. And then afterwards, after we're completed, we'll go ahead and do the other stuff. Yes, hello. Yes. All right. Okay. So since we're in this attitude of worship, just focus on that. That song, just great are you, Lord. Just focus on the greatness of God. And one of the things that we really want to do today is we want to focus on the greatness of God. This is the time of the year where we celebrate Thanksgiving, right? How many like Thanksgiving? Okay. One of the traditional names for communion is called the Great Thanksgiving. Because we give God thanks for all that he's done for us, but particularly what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to celebrate that here today, and we're going to recognize that in Christ, that without Christ, we're all a mess, right? Without Christ, we all deserve what we get, and that's hell, right? We all deserve eternal damnation because without Christ. So Jesus reminded us, and he took two worlds. He took the world of the Old Testament and the world of the Old Covenant or the Hebrew Covenant, and he brought that together within himself. And so in a night that was reminiscent of Jesus, reminiscent of the Israelites in Egypt, coming out of Egypt, He took bread, and he once again, he gave thanks to God. He said, thank you, Lord God, creator, ruler, sovereign of the universe, that gives us grain from the field with me, who had bread to eat. And he took it and he broke it. This is all in the traditional manner of what was to be done by the Israelite people from the time of Moses, with a little gap where they forgot in there. And he began to take the bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat from this. And he gave something new. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks in the Seder meal. There are lots of cups, but many scholars, and I agree, believe that it was probably the cup of redemption at the point where this happened, which is very significant. And he took the cup of redemption, which is in the Seder meal, and he began to once again say the traditional language, blessed are you, Lord God, ruler, sovereign of the universe, that gives us fruit of the vine that we may have drink. And again, he began to pass that around to his disciples and said, take and drink from this, all of you. But he changed it, and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, recognizing that within a few hours that he would pay the ultimate price for his life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great theologian and actually a really interesting guy who could have escaped Nazi Germany but didn't, and he died a few days in the concentration camp before it was liberated, who wrote lots of things. One of the things, he had a great book called Life Together. And one of the things that Dietrich Bonhoeffer said is that because of Christianity, we kind of get callous to this. We kind of get callous to the idea that God sent his son, that his son lived, suffered, and died, and rose again, giving us new life. We kind of get callous to that in life, don't we? We just kind of like, oh, yeah, Jesus died and rose again. But he said the grace, the undeserved love and favor of God, we've been talking about crazy love, but the undeserved love and favor of God is free. It's free to everybody who says, hey, Jesus, I'm a mess. I need a Savior, and you're it. Nobody else will save me. And so we do that, and we hear that so much. And we live life so many times like that. However, Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminded her that God's grace is free, but we it's not cheap. It cost Jesus his life. And that every suffering that Christ went through was for you and me. And so as we go to this point, Jesus said, do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. And so that's what we do today in this great Thanksgiving. We give thanks to God for this moment right now. We give thanks to God for everything that happened in Christ Jesus. And by doing so, we don't forget or we don't minimize what he did by just going ahead and saying, okay, yeah, I've done this before. Or like when I was little, you had the little shot glasses of communion and the little like hard croutons, right? Or little other croutons that we just popped them down in. And we made it easy for ourselves. But we've also got to take into a connotation that no matter what form it comes in, if you're Catholic and got the wafer, if you're Catholic or Lutheran and you got the real stuff that, to drink, whatever it may be, recognize that in the midst of this, this we celebrate because of the crazy love of God for you and for me. So communion has a couple little rules. It's open for all. And John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, where I got a lot of my theology training from, was the fact that it's a converting sacrament, that even if you're not sure about Christ, if you really embrace what Christ did for you, that it could be something that can convert you into Christianity, if you really look at it and analyze what Christ did in your life. So you need to ask, do you love God? And you know, remember what I said? We can't say we love God without the Holy Spirit enabling that the other week. Do you want to live at peace with people? Now, I'm not saying you are at peace with each other, because I know people, right? And I know how we are. And we know how we relate to people. And you're going to go Black Friday shopping this week, and you're not going to love anybody. I understand that. But the thing is, do you want to live at peace with one another? Are you tired of turning on the news and seeing all the stuff? Are you tired of the water cooler talk? Are you tired of just division and strife and fight within your own lives? If you want to live at peace with one another, you got to go to the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. Okay, live at peace with one another and just repent of your sin. We're going to talk a little bit about repentance today, but it just means about faith. Say, I'm messy. I'm messy, God. I've had. You don't, God. You're not. You sure you want me? You don't know. I'm damaged goods. Okay, I'm damaged in this whole thing. And he says, that's all right. I was damaged for you. It's okay. That's what I paid the price. And one of the greatest things in Scripture is that we find out that the Lamb of God, Jesus, bears the scars for eternity for you and for me, for the healing of the nations, which we're part of. So at this point, just bow with me for a prayer. Lord God, as we gathered here, We go ahead and ask your Holy Spirit to be upon these gifts. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed and set apart by his precious blood. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until we feast again at that great Thanksgiving in heaven at your banquet table, where it never runs out and nobody has to pay the check. And so, God, I give you thanks for your Holy Spirit here today. As we come and we celebrate your presence with us, be with us, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come first, and I'm going to serve them, and then I'll serve the servers. They'll come up, if the servers come up. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just stick with LD. Okay, let me see. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you guys. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus shed for you. Just play that one. All right. The servers. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bob, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Judah, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay over there. Hey, buddy. All right. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of our Lord broken and given for you. Oh, we almost dropped Jesus. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Shed for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Just to give you some things, I know some people are coming up. There's also gluten-free over here if people need that. Gluten-free Jesus, all right, over here. So it's okay. He has a sense of humor. I would have been dead a long time ago, all right? So if you need that. So we're going to ask that you just come from the back and come up and just focus on how great God is, how great his love for us.
For us, how vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the father turned his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice. call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. It is finished. Oh, oh. It is finished. Oh, oh. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. This I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
But this I know with all my heart,
his wounds have paid my ransom.
As the last few people take communion, I just ask that you stand and we sing that verse one again, with how deep the Father's love for us. Just join us in, just worship the Lord and focus on his love for us.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, turned his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
How deep the Father's love for us. Bow with me for prayer. Lord God, as we have partaken of a remembrance of how great your love is for us, may we just take time to not just do it right now during this act of communion, but that, as I said in the service, that we may be for the world the body and the blood of Christ, set apart and redeemed by his precious blood. And so, God, as you have prepared your people for the rest of this service, for what you have for us and for our children as they head to our Sunday school ministry, God, whatever it may be, that in the season of Thanksgiving, that we may not lose track of the same thing that Abraham Lincoln said initially wanting to do this, that we may have a day where we just stop the world and focus on giving thanks to the Father and Creator above for all that we have and all that we are. And Lord, in these ways, we just go ahead and ask for your Spirit. I recognize that every time I do communion, that there are parts and elements that are left over, and that means that there's people missing in the body. And so God, wherever they may be, or if they may not even know about you yet, I just pray that they will hear your voice and come in contact with Jesus, who is Savior and Lord. And God's people all said, amen. All right, you may have a seat unless you're going to Sunday school. You can go ahead and head out.
All right. So first of all, I want to welcome any visitors. If you're here visiting for the first time, welcome. And if you are, hopefully you received a card when you came in. We'd like for you to just go ahead and fill that out. If you want to, you can take it out back here, and we have a small gift for you. If you're joining us online for the first time, welcome. We're glad that you're with us. But we definitely want to get your information. And also, I just want to put this note in. If we do not have your updated information, like emails and other kinds of things, you want to get that out, because pretty soon we're going to be talking about the S word, snow. Okay, so I know where your minds were, but we're going to be talking about snow, and with that comes sometimes inclement weather, with ice and other things, and we may have at sometimes have to postpone church. And we've been pretty blessed over 10 years. Had a handful, I think, 1 year we had twice, like within 4 weeks. So please go ahead and make sure you have your information connected, and also check online. That's a good way. In the early days, just to tell you how things have changed in 10 years ago, 10 years ago we had to get on the phone and call everybody. Anybody remember phone chains and prayer chains? So now we just put it up on the web, or we actually have a system that sends stuff out to you. So we have your updated information. You can get a text, you can get a phone call, you can get all of them. And so we'll be glad to do that. All right? Go ahead and just check out some of the other information. Today, the 26th and the 3rd, we'll have rehearsal for our Christmas pageant, God With Us, Sunday School. You can see that information. So they're going to meet right in here, I take it, right? Okay, sounds good to me. So we want to go ahead and have that. The Cub Scouts are doing a coat drive for the Parish Foundation. You can see the information about that. That is due on December the 3rd. So go through those coats, pull them out of the attic and say, I'm never going to wear that, or this is a nice one and I want to give it to somebody. Whatever you want to do, by all means, go ahead and do that. Dining for Women, you can see that information about that coming up on the 6th. Operation Christmas Child, it's the last day, and I saw many bringing in the boxes. If you still forgot, shame, shame, shame. No, but if you still forgot, we'll get in contact with Liz. Is she out there somewhere? There you are. Liz, if they forgot? Yeah, tough. When are you taking them? You're taking them, okay? So so she needs to get them. Hopefully you have them here. Is youth meeting tonight? Okay, so, all right. How many? 240. Okay, awesome. There we go. Good job. All right. All right, so Thanksgiving boxes are due today. I saw lots of turkeys, and Joe Cox got the joke several times, a turkey carrying a turkey, but we got several of them. Yesterday, we had 118 meals, $333 cash, and what's that, and a $50 gift card, and $50 from Walmart and Northeast, so we have a lot of those. And then also, I know, who knows how many came in now, but that's awesome. That's a great, great thing. We're thrilled for that. Stockings for Soldiers. Bob, are you here? Did I see Bob today? There you are. Hey, you asked for stockings. We ran out last week. That's awesome. Amazing. So, anything else that we need to know about that? Awesome. That's great. We're thrilled about that. You can see. All right, there's more stockings. You can get them out there now. They're going like hotcakes. Who knows how hotcake goes, but they're going like stockings. Okay, there we go. Way to go, Mike. Okay, good job. So more stockings than you know, and I love it. I think it's awesome for our soldiers, and you have all the items that go in there in your bulletin, so you can continue that. Let's see. And Parish Foundation is today. How are we, Mike? We're awesome. Okay, so we have that today, and we're thrilled about Parish Foundation. Okay? Any other kinds of announcements that we need to make, announcement-wise? I love that there's so much going on. It's pretty awesome. Okay? All right, Lisa Osborne. As saying praise for her mom, Sally Teague, became a great grandmother with the birth of Jasper William Heil. So, and he was how much? How? 9 pounds, 15 ounces. He's a big boy, okay? So, Jamie is asking for prayers for baby Gabe, who is having a second brain surgery. So, we want to lift that in Gabe in prayers and the entire family there. Joanne Edwards asked for prayers for her Aunt Rita Murphy. She had a stroke on Friday. And we'll start rehab this week, okay? So we want to lift everyone in prayers. We want to lift up the family of Dorothy Ashbridge, as we will have her celebration of life tomorrow. And I know that the Hash family also celebrated the life of Jerry, who's present with the Lord now, and we want to give thanks for them. See Robin today. Robin, we're still giving condolences and love to you and the loss of Ray, and I'm going to continue to surround her in prayer as well, all right? Anybody else that we have? What? Wyatt. Okay. So we want to lift up prayers for Chris. What's his last name? Chris Griffith. Lift up prayers for him with a brain tumor. So Chris, yes. Okay. Okay, so grandson Benny, we want to lift him in prayers too. He's dealing, yeah. Yes, the Cole family from Rising Sun, they were the ones whose house was burnt down, and that's a horrific situation. Please lift them up. I know some of my kids are friends with her and went to school with her, and they have a, and Jacob is the younger boy, and just the whole family, you know, particularly, it's bad any time, but particularly at this time, and they lost a lot. So, and if you still want to contribute, I'm sure there's ways that we can do that. You can, all right? Yes. Okay. Okay, so we're going to pray for you for healing. You cleared lung cancer, but lesions on the brain. And we're going to claim that Jesus is in the process of healing you as we speak. We definitely want to do that. Okay, yes. Okay, so for Becky, who came through an aneurysm, we want to give a praise for that. Any others? Yes. My sister is undergoing clinical trials. Undergoing what? Clinical trials in Boston. Okay, she has had a roller coaster ride, so we want to continue to lift Damien's sister up. Yes.
My brother-in-law, Lance Lansinger,
Okay, so we want to lift Carol's brother-in-law, Lance, who's dealing with masses in lungs and other kinds of things. Any others? Yes, Michelle. Roger's not feeling well. We want to lift up Roger. Go ahead. John is coming home. Okay. I know he's been wanting to get to this area, so we want to thank God for making that happen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and there are so many needs, so many concerns, and yet you are great. Great are you, Lord. And so, God, in this time, we want to lift up the specific names of the ones that were shared here today for joys of people coming home, for those who are celebrating any birthdays, anniversaries, or those moments in life. But, God, we also want to lift up those who have new additions to the family for in birth and in marriage and other kinds of things. Be with them. But, God, in the midst of that, we know that so many people have needs of health, for surgeries, for a young baby, for just loss, for what we hear of cancer and all these things. We just want to lift up anybody who's dealing with any of these things, no matter what doctors say. We know you're the great physician and you bring healing. And so, God, during this time right now, we just lift up your name. And we pray that no matter what this world has in store, we recognize that we have a Savior and he loves us more than life itself. And so, God, in the remainder of this time, just make yourself more real to us right at this moment. Just, God, let us know that you're here. Let us know that you're in our lives. And as we speak this last week about crazy love, God, just help us to fall more in love with you and recognize just in the goodness of who you are in our lives that we can just, no matter what the future holds, we can just bask, as in the old saying goes, in who holds the future. So God, during the rest of this time, here we are, as broken as we are, as messed up as we are, we're your children and you love us. You love us so much that you provided for us that we can be here to this day, that you gave us breath in our lungs today, that we could get up and worship you. And so God, we thank you for that. And for all these many blessings, I thank you for such a giving church, that there's so many needs that this church meets. And so many more that you want us to. So God, during this time, we have a brief moment to give back to you out of the greatness of your provision for us to help others here and around the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Please stand as we continue our worship today. Let's sing this together as one body, one church. Good Father.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me. that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways, perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
And it's a love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. It's a peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways.
What's up, church?
Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. To
good morning. Rejoice in the Lord. May the Lord's love touch each and every one of you today. I'm reading from Acts 2, 36 through 47. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Okay, here we go. Our last week in Crazy Love. So have you enjoyed the Crazy Love series? I think this is probably the longest series I may have ever done. It may have seemed long. Some of it may have seemed longer to you, but we're 8 weeks. I know there's some extra ones in the book. Like one section that I'm not going to talk about that's in the book is Who Lives This Way. And it tells some great stories of people who are actively Christians who are living out this kind of crazy love in this more crazy world. So you can go ahead and touch on that. And there's just some really, really cool things. Don't get too nervous. I know there's a lot of blanks, but we're going to make it through it. And if you miss one, you can talk to Chris. He gets them every week, don't you, Chris? You fill in all the blanks every week, don't you? So Chris, he comes and gets me after church if he misses one. So here we go. Today is basically what we're going to do. We've been spending, if it's your first week with us, go ahead and check online. You can watch a lot of things that we've been talking about. But we've been primarily, every fall and usually in the springtime, we like to do church-wide studies where the messages and our small groups go ahead and meet together. And so this year we took Crazy Love by Francis Chan, and we've had several people going through this. And so we're coming to the end of this series today. And so we spent a lot of time unpacking and hearing those who are lukewarm, those who are obsessed with Jesus. We talked about 1 week how you can't love God without the Holy Spirit enabling you to love God. We talked about lots of different things here. And so what today I wanted to do is, how do we respond to all this? You know, because a lot of times we're really good about doing something, taking something and going, yeah, yeah, and then doing nothing with it. And so it does us no good if we do nothing with this. Because ultimately, even though we're taking in the book, we're looking at a greater deal. How do we respond to the Word of God? That's really what the crux of the matter is. The book is just a way in order to help us kind of get to a point. But ultimately, we're asking, how do we respond to the Word of God? And so we looked in Acts chapter 2 that was read for us. But I think it's really interesting. In Acts 37, this is after Simon Peter stands up and he begins to share the day that of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. And he says this, it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? And that's what I want to do today. What shall we do now? We've got this information. Some of it's new. Some of it's just like, yeah, you're right. I need to renew this focus. But what do we do with all this kind of stuff? Now, I'm not going to go ahead and read Acts chapter 2 for you again right now. But what I want to show with you, it says the people were cut to the heart and they repented and were baptized and received the Holy Spirit. And then they began to share their faith. And I love the fact that when we get to verse 42 of chapter 2, it says, and all the believers were what? What's that word? Together. And held everything in common. They were together. Boy, wouldn't it be great if all, let's just start with the United States, if all United States Christians could be together. Wouldn't it be great if all churches in a denomination could be together? Wouldn't it be great if all churches in an area could get together on the fact, not, you know, usually what happens when we get together with other Christians, it takes about 5 minutes and then we start talking about how we're different. Don't we? I mean, how many of you have ever had that experience? Rather than focusing in on our commonality in Christ. You see, the early church, how do we usually respond to the word of God? Often we'll respond with an amen. Let's see how you respond. Amen. Okay? So we say amen. And that's good. That's really good. Amen is a term that means so be it. Yeah, I believe it. Let's go with it. Rock it out. And some of you are old enough and like me and remember that we had these things called hymnals. Anybody remember them? Like a book with songs. And at the end of everything, it would go, every song, amen. Remember that? Every single song. It didn't matter what it was. Amen. Right? Everybody sang that. Didn't matter if you didn't sing anything else. Everybody went, amen. Everybody did it. So we respond to that. Another way that we respond to is motivational speakers. Like, I'm not going to do my Chris Farley in a van down by the river. I'm not going to do that. I just did it. But sometimes we respond to motivational speaking. A lot of times we will go to a conference or we'll go to, some of you might remember when people used to do all these revivals and you go there and you get really excited and you'd be really good. And then Monday morning hits or you got to go back to work and that evangelist is gone. And you're like living life and it ain't fun and you remember that and it just kind of goes, trickles out, right? Or sometimes you may hear a sermon. I know you get this every week. You get a sermon and you're just like, whoa, yeah, I'm ready to take on the world. Yeah. And then you make the mistake by going to the grocery store afterwards, right? And somebody butts in front of you and you start to, somebody treats you, says something to you. Or you get a text. You look at the text and you look at something else and something does something to you. Or you may last that day and then you go to work, all right? So, some of us like, and one of the things that's really, really good now is spiritual self-help books. People have that. They had one that was produced by a pastor that didn't even say the word of Jesus in it. Didn't even say his name in the whole thing. Right. So is, when we say amen, is it a reality? When we say something, do we really believe it? If I were to say something, does it really come into action? Because the early church said no amens. Well, they did a little bit. But they didn't need motivational speakers. They didn't respond and say, good sermon, Pastor. They didn't do that kind of stuff. They didn't say, good sermon, Peter. That was great. They said, what shall we do? Wait a second. I got this in my head now. I got it in my heart. What am I going to do with it? And I hope that we didn't just waste 8 weeks just giving you something in your head and you say, okay, Merry Christmas. I want you to go ahead and say, what should I do with this? What am I going to do with all this? How do I make this real in my life? Because the crux of this entire series is this. That crazy love given by God calls for crazy love in return. It's the whole meaning of this whole thing. Look at what this says in this verse of scripture from Philippians. Paul writes this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that statement say? Continue to do what? The whole thing together. Work out. Work out. Because what we do sometimes, some of us get in our brains that we must work for our salvation. So I got to do a lot of stuff. I got to make a lot of things happen. I got to join every group. Everything that pops open. I got to be in the door. I got to go ahead. I got to scrub the floors. I got to go ahead, bake cakes. I got to do this. And that's all good stuff. But we think we are working for our salvation. That is wrong. It says some of us just choose to ignore the whole thing. You know what? I accepted Jesus at such and such time at an altar. I'm good for life. Got my ticket punched. Woo! Now I can live like a hellion. I got my ticket. Yoo-hoo, Jesus, remember? Woo, got it. Right? And a lot of us live that way, and we don't work out anything. Now I want to tell you, how many of you have ever worked out in your life? Okay? How many of you in the midst of that are like, yeah, I'm getting huge. Right? I got a big giggle over there. She's my new favorite person in the whole church. She giggle. All right. But some of us, like, for instance, when I go into the gym, I don't go ahead and go, all right, today I'm going to pump some weights. Now I'm huge. It doesn't, like, they don't just go pop, 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 like that, and I walk out like this. You know, it doesn't happen that way. How do I continue? Arnold Schwarzenegger at one time was a baby. Arnold Schwarzenegger at one point somewhere along his life was probably a skinny kid. What happened to him? That made him, I'm Arnold. Steroids, I hear that, okay. What else? Let's take the steroids out of this, okay? Get no easy way, all right. Jerk. No. All right. So what? No, what happened? What did he do? He worked out. He worked out day in and day out. He even has a dumbbell curl named after him called Arnold's. You grab him like this and come down like this. And it's horrible. All right? And he's like, I am Arnold. Right? Can you imagine if he was like that skinny kid? Hi, I'm Arnold. Right? It wouldn't work, right? He had to commit to working out day in and day out. It had to become his lifestyle. With me, his lifestyle. And so what the scripture says and what Paul says is continue to work out your salvation. We've made salvation just be about a moment that gets us into heaven rather than working it out through this life. The workout every day is living this life that Christ intended for us. It is the fullness of life that Christ has for us. So I want to share with you today, very quickly at first, and some other things, some biblical ways in which we can work out our salvation, all right? And how we know we can do that. Five of them. Ready? First one. Our first workout plan is this. Daily live in freedom. To daily live in freedom. Look at what the scripture says here in Galatians chapter 5. Christ has set us free for freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't submit to the bondage of slavery again. What were they bound to? Sin. We're told in the scripture that the wages, in other words, what we get paid for, what we deserve, our payment for our off the markness of God, our sin of being off the mark of what God intends, is simply this. God is good, I'm not, I am sinful, and I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. But because of Christ, I am set free from that. In other words, I got a get out of jail free card. There's a story in history, I forget his name, but there's a man who was on death row, and he received a pardon. When the pardon came in, the man said, nah, no thanks. I'm not going to take it. There was a major court case about it, and the court case went to the Supreme Court, and the whole idea of this was, they said, the pardon is only as valid if the person wants to receive it. For us, you are only free in Christ if you accept Jesus himself. Look at what it continues on further. It says, you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge in your selfish impulses, but serve one another through love. One of the things that the church did that I think we like to do, and you guys, if you've been around church for a while, you can experience this, that we're set free from Christ, but then we like to put our own rules and regulations and legalism to make us go ahead and be more in bondage than we ever were before. So you can be a Christian, but if you use this version of the Bible. Or you can be this type of Christian if you wear this to church. Anybody part of this? That you can be a Christian, but you can't do this, you can't say that, you can't be here. And we have with all these other regulations in our lives that are more binding than Christ was, than was before Christ. So we have this Christian legalism. And God has set us free and given us freedom in Christ. Look at what it says, as I said in verse 13. Other people have used this freedom to say, wow, if I'm free from sin in Christ, I'm going to sin all the more. And then say, sorry, God, that's not how we do it either way. We just can't rely on the peaks of our life and our relationship with God. We need to, you know, I love that old song, the God of the mountain is still God of the valley. That I can tell you in my life that God in the valleys of my life have meant a lot more to me than God on the mountains. It feels good on the mountain, but I need him more when I'm in the valleys. And I need him every day because I can't just like go, how do I find him after that? It's more than just the American Christian model. It's much more. It's a lifestyle. Number two, we need to be, way to work out is to learn to listen and obey. Look at what it says in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. If you love me. If you love me, keep my commands. Do what I say. The best times in life, even though sometimes we don't like it, the best times in life often tend to be the times that we're most obedient to God. If you love me, keep my commands. That's the way that Jesus tells us this as well. Number three. We need to get salty and bright. Get salty and bright. Much of our, in other words, much of our talk does not match our lives, don't match our actions. Like, for instance, we can quote all day, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can't do this anymore. I just can't do it. I can't go on. No more. Right? We have that situation. Or we do this. I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And, you know, we often do that. We use that as an excuse not to do anything for God. Like, for instance, let me just ask you, did God tell you to shower this morning? Did God tell you to go shopping? Did God tell you to get out of bed? Did God tell you to brush your teeth? Yeah, I got somebody who's like, no. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm going to bring her up here and just sit her right here. But we do those things, right? And it's the same thing in the big things of life. You got to head in a direction so God can tell you, this is the way, walk in it. You notice that that's what the scripture says? This is the way, walk in it. But you don't know the way if you never get out of your house. And so God didn't tell us, how many of you went on vacation this year? Did God tell you to go on vacation? Did you go? Did you joyfully enjoy it? Yes, it's the same in our Christian faith. Those things aren't wrong, but we often rationalize our stuntedness in faith because we don't take time to go ahead and just go in a direction. We are slow to commit to what God says. Look at Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. A lot of us need to be salty. We need to be flavor. We need to be preserved. We need to sting. Now let me ask you, how many of you like a little bit of salt? How many like a lot of bit of salt? How many if I gave you a whole cup of salt, you would just love it? Anybody ever mistaken salt for sugar? Anybody? Who's ever done that before? It's disgusting, am I right? So too much of it is too bad. And sometimes when you're just hammering on people and hammering and bringing that legalism and hammering some more and hammering some more, you're just like giving them a cup of salt in their mouth. If we look at this, when it's dark, how many of you like a flashlight? How many are glad now you don't have to look for a flashlight, you just pull out your phone? Even if you can't figure out how to flick that stupid thing up and it won't do it, and you're going around like this, right? We like light when it's dark. We like light when it's dark. You know, I'm going to give you another example. You ready for this? And you'll see this in the book as well, and I love the example. Christians are like manure. Manure is awesome. When you spread it out, it causes things to grow. But when you leave it in a pile, it kills what's underneath and it stinks. And that's how we have taken this thing called Christianity, where we just pile it all up on top of somebody rather than spreading it out and letting it grow and bring it to fruition. Don't you love that? Isn't that a graphic illustration? I love that. So it's awesome. So you look at what, again, Matthew says, you are the light in the world, light of the world. Further on in Matthew, in 28:19, he says, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what the first letter in that was? Go. Go. Christianity is not about sit and give. It's about going and doing and being. It's the most active religion that I know of. And we have just turned it into something else. We need the Holy Spirit to change our lives, and that leads us to this next one. We need to live Spirit-filled lives. We need to be controlled by God's Spirit. And basically what I think is the issue here is that our view, our understanding of the Holy Spirit, we understand we put the Holy Spirit in a box and that God's Holy Spirit is too small, our view of it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18, the second half says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we learned a couple weeks ago that you need to be filled with the Spirit so that he can give you enough love so that you can say, I love God. That you can't love God unless you have the Holy Spirit fill you to tell you, to convince you of a knowledge of love that is beyond all knowledge. Remember that? Okay, got that clear? Me neither. All right. But in the Greek word, and I want to talk about this, the be filled with the Spirit, the Greek verb here, the be filled, has two different meanings. One is an imperative meaning. Do it now. Fill it. So if I said, go ahead and fill that water jar. Boom, that's what I'm saying. Fill it. Do it once. Or if I'm working and I'm a waiter, and I say, make sure you fill them up. Fill them up. It's repeated. You continually fill that. The other thing is a passive response. And it's God's action in filling you with the Holy Spirit. And that's cool in area. You have to be ready. But like I started thinking about Thanksgiving. So I started thinking about Thanksgiving a lot because I can't wait for it. I love Thanksgiving. And, I mean, just great food, all right? And one of the things about Thanksgiving is I was taken back to when I was a kid and we had the adult table and the kids' table. How many were on the kids' table? All right? Jill never had to sit there. She got lucky. But it was all the cousin boys out after we went and played football and were sitting there. And we would go ahead you know, when it came time to eat, they would have the food set out. And in order to have the food, I had to show up out there where it was and have my plate ready. And then often the parents would go ahead and start flopping on. Sometimes I'd grab it myself and they go, no, you're not going to waste it. Here, let me give you what, anybody know this? And how many had the one parent? It was my dad who would always like mix it with the other stuff. Did that drive you nuts? Like, everything's like just in a big mound. You're like, Dad, please, you know, separate those things. But we did that, and I started thinking, this is exactly what this verse is about. This verse is about that in order for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I got to bring this vessel and be ready. I got to say, here it is. Here it is. Fill her up. And sometimes I can reach out and start to grab some of that stuff and do that, and God's saying, no, you're going to waste that area. Let me give you this. Let me give you what you need. Here's what you need. You're going to have it. Any of you, if somebody says, hey, it's dinner time, come on, Thanksgiving, are you going to say, nah, I'm good. Go ahead. Don't need it. Cranberry sauce, uh-uh. Turkey, smells good, but no. Stuffing, oh, and it's later in the night. No, I got those sub rolls for those Bobbies. And you're going to say, no, thank you. If you do, something's wrong with you. I'm going to tell you that. All right? The most amazing food ever at this time of year. And you can just eat and eat and eat. And then you can just crawl into like a trick defend sleep, you know, right? It's one of the reasons why Scripture talks about my cup overflows. That that's a symbol of just wealth and bounty, that you can have so much you can just overflow. And that's what God has for our lives. If we just bring the plate to him and say, here I am, fill me up. Number five, we need to embrace that change is good and it is critical. Hold on, we'll get you there. Somebody do something with Lisa. All right. In case you didn't hear, somebody said, I want to go bye-bye. Okay. Change is good and it's critical. And I'm somebody in my life, I haven't really like loved change, but I will tell you that made changes in lives carry tremendous impacts over than the statements of change. Like, for instance, if you're a vegan on Thanksgiving, yeah, I know. And then there may be some of you, and you're going to eat tofurkey. It is tofurkey, right, Laura? Tofurkey. But like, let's say you are a vegan on Thanksgiving. I'm a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. And then you're in line, just plopping meat on your plate and chewing on it, right? Are you? Are you really a vegetarian? When you're eating meat? No. When are you? When you don't eat it, right? When you do what you say. So my question to you is now, do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Are you a Christian, a little Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Do you love him? And how is that displayed in your life? It's like dieting and then eating at a donut shop. It doesn't work that way. And in the Christian world, we do that all the time. We say one thing and do another. Look at what James chapter 1, verse 22 says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, and deceive yourselves. The world needs doers. Those that embrace the call of Christ, no matter what the change that occurs in their lives. What is the greatest change in your life? It's called repentance. It means about face, turn and go the opposite way. If you've been living life and it's not so great, try God's way. Just saying, try it that way. Now, I'm not saying, we live in a time now that, you know, after this crazy love, we may have taken a series and we may feel convicted, we may feel guilty, we may be moved emotionally, we may be crushed. But if we only feel certain things and never do anything with it, then what's the point? And we live in a culture where we celebrate feeling guilty. Like, we feel guilty and we like flog ourselves a little bit and like, I'm bad. Oh, I'm bad. And then we do some nice little things and say, oh, I'm better. This thing's driving me nuts today. We say, I'm better now. But, you know, as I read the scripture, if we never change and it never impacts our life, then we're basically doing Satan's job for him. So how do we become a doer? Here we go. Put on your seatbelts. We're going at warp speed. How do we become a doer? Number one, we need to stop being the weird ones. All right, stop being the weird ones. And what do you mean by weird ones? I'm saying that predominantly the weird ones are those of us who live in this world as Christians and live in our country. Because it's too easy for us. It's much too easy for us to serve Jesus. The number of Christian martyrs that occur every year is widely variable. Some have 200 martyrs per month, while others have even 10,000. In the last decade, most of the numbers of Christian martyrs originated from civil war that occurred in the Democratic Republic of Congo. There are between 500 and 600 Christians throughout the world that can't profess their faith freely without persecution. Between 2006 and 2011, there were 145 countries where Christians were being harassed in some way because of their belief. Christians have 10% greater likelihood to be harassed for their beliefs than Muslims do, and almost twice as much to receive harassment than compared to Judaism. Nearly 67% of the Christians in the world today live in dangerous neighborhoods where they, just by being a Christian, it's a natural risk. Last year, nearly 70% of the Christian martyr cases originated from one country, Nigeria. Between 1917 and 1980, nearly 15 million Christians died while living in prison camps because of their faith. It's estimated now that 100 million Christians are currently being persecuted because of their faith right now. Think about that. And I got to tell you, the thoughts of the stuff I complain about when it comes to my faith in church fall by the wayside. Somebody might say something smart, may do something, may have a little argument with somebody else who's Christian, but I got to tell you, I haven't had to lay down my life for my faith, as most of the Christians in the world have to do today. You know, Christians are shocked in other countries that we get concerned with the things that we do. There's Christians in India that when they get a Bible, they do something we would never do. They tear it apart. How dare they? They tear it apart and pass it to each other so that they can memorize it and give it to somebody else. That's how the hunger for the Word of God is. When we can go and pull it up at any second. Anyway, be a doer of the Word. You see, we are the weird ones when it comes to Christian faith in this world. We are the weird ones. In John 15, it says, if the world hates you, and it does, know that it has hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you and treat you as its own. So my question is to you, are you getting along in the world? Maybe you need to check our faith a little bit more and see if people don't like us as much. Share your faith. Number two, share your faith. We need to stop being afraid to share our faith because God answers prayer and your life is the greatest testimony of your love. If you say, I don't feel close to God, when's the last time you shared your story? When's the last time you shared your faith? In Philemon or Philemon, you fill it in. It's potato, patata. Here we go. It says this, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become what? Effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us, Christ Jesus. This week, sometimes sit down and write your story with you and Jesus. Write it. I guarantee you, if you stop and write down some things, he's done some awesome things for you. We need to do it with courage and humility together. The story of Jesus when he went in and he turned over the money changers' tables. That wasn't little Jesus meek and mild, was it? He was a mason, a carpenter that was throwing things over and whipping cords around and nobody wanted to face him. He might have looked like Arnold. I must break you, right? You never know. Did he do that out of anger? No, he did it out of humility and courage because he said, you're making my father's house a den of robbers, and I can't do it anymore. You're doing something to my father's house. And in the humility of the love for his father and in the courage that he had to stick up for his daddy, he needed to do that. Somebody was talking about my dad negatively, my physical dad. You better bet I'm going to get you in check, right? You're talking about my dad who's laid down his life for people year after year after year, and I've seen the effects of some people treating him horribly. You better bet I'm going to say something to your face. So why do I let people talk about my daddy in heaven all the time, right? Sometimes we don't have to be quiet in our humility. Sometimes we just need to be ready to throw down, all right? Not really fight, but you got it, okay? Okay, number three, this is a quick one. Live out the book of Acts. I got to tell you, when I've read the book of Acts, I often look at it as this great history book. I look at it as great, the power of people doing it. But the book of Acts is wrongly titled in the Bible. Many of you may have a Bible that says it looks at the Acts of the Apostles. It ain't their Acts, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so the book of Acts is even more relevant for today. When you look through those things that were shared with us before, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They broke bread together and prayer. They spent time together. Everyone was filled with awe at the wonders and signs they performed. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had a need. And everyone continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. In other words, they spent time together. They took care of needs. They went ahead. They worshiped together. And they changed the world together because they had a commonality in Christ Jesus. And they were ready to live it out through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the church today can do the same thing if we get our heads out of our spiritual rear ends. Yes, I just said that. Out of that, and get our eyes on Jesus and let the Holy Spirit fill us, then fill in our churches and fill in our lives with so much other junk that means nothing. It changed the world, and so can you, because we need to be encouragers. As it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How can we spur one another on? You have spurred me on, because as I look out there, as I looked in here last week, I know that there's kids that are getting something for Christmas in the name of Jesus. When I know that there's hundreds of people that are going to have Thanksgiving who couldn't afford it, that you don't realize that this church, I spent last night talking to Pastor Oog again in Haiti, and just all the plans that he has and the things that he is so excited about there. That we are changing the world. But I also want to let you know you're changing community. You don't know how many people in our own community that this church is going ahead and helping people with needs that they have. Otherwise, they'd be homeless. And I am thankful that I serve a church, people who love people enough that you're willing to entrust me and the leadership of this church to distribute that and be the hands and feet of Christ. You're doing more, and you know what makes me mad is that there's churches that are 8 billion times the size of us that do nothing for Christ. And we need to call that out. And ultimately, how do we do this? But we need to encourage one another. So your encouragement to me, I'm encouraging back. Awesome job. I know some of you would rather be getting ready for the Eagles to beat Dallas tonight really badly. I know you'd love to do that. But you're going to be at Paris Foundation until it happens. It's going to happen. If it doesn't, don't call me. So I got some cords. Okay, all right. Last thing, and this is it. Trust in Jesus. There used to be an old hymn called, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Every relationship that you have is based in trust. It's based in trust. Trust Jesus with all that you have. This is one of these verses that we say, but often we don't believe. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge or submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know, if you trust in Jesus with everything that you got, and you love the Lord God with all you got, guess what? Your path is going to be a lot easier. He's going to guide you in those paths. Yeah, they may dip down a little bit, but he's going to guide you to where you need to be. As we close this series called Crazy Love, I'm excited because I know last year when we did Radical, we began to become world changers. I can't wait until we get a little bit more crazy. A little more crazy, right? A little more crazy with Jesus. All right? Everybody ready? Everybody crazy? Yep. Look at the person next to you and say, "You're crazy." And your manure. No, don't do that. Okay, here we go. Okay. All right, let's stand where we are, okay? As the worship team comes up. Lord God, we come to you today, and I thank you for the heart of a man named Francis Chan who had the courage to go ahead and begin to speak out and to share from his heart what you laid on him. That still, many years later, after we have this book, that we can go ahead and connect to you in a new way. So God, as we come up to the time where we celebrate Thanksgiving and we celebrate and continue till we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus and all those things that go with that, let us not lose sight of the fact that crazy love given demands crazy love in return. So God, right now, one of the first things that we need to do in order to bring change to our lives is repent. Every single one of us standing here, every single person in my voice have messed up. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have messed up and haven't done what you want us to do. But the good thing is, God, you don't hold that over us. There's forgiveness and there's healing. I thank you for a church that loves people, that runs out of stockings and says, give us more. That a church that says, hey, we can do better than we did the year before. We can meet more needs. We can touch more lives. Oh, you know, we don't have anybody who says, oh, we shouldn't be spending money on Haiti. We got to take care of it here. No, we say, we're going to do Haiti and we're going to do it here. I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that love for you and the love for others, which you said is the greatest commandment. So God, wherever we are in our hearts today, we lifted up many hurts and pains, but ultimately, God, here it is for you. We may be going through something with life. We may be saying one thing and putting on the game face and doing another. We may be just in a hurt and we don't even know who we are. Help us just take this time and fall in love with you. And let your love just roll through our lives. Just roll through our lives. Fill us, Holy Spirit, that we can be the mighty men and women of God that you have called us to be. And this in all things, God, we lift your name higher. And may we recognize that it's for your glory that we do all things, not ours. Forgive us, God. Forgive me. Forgive me for not always being the son that shows you that I love you. Forgive me for not always being the pastor that I need to be. Forgive me for not doing what you've called me to do in many ways. And God, just bring your spirit in a new way. So this altar's open. And wherever you are can be an altar, but just go to the Lord in prayer. Seek healing for your soul. Seek healing for your body. Seek healing in Jesus and seek a connection with him like you never had before. God, we thank you for your crazy love. May you see it in each one of us. In Jesus' name.
Your life, 'cause I am yours forever. And Jesus, you are mine. Yeah, Jesus, you are mine. There is no one like you, God. Love immeasurable and strong. There is no one like you, God. So lead this heart to sing in more. There is no one like you, God. No.
Songs. It was an old hymn when I was a kid called Standing on the Promises, right? And that's what we have, Standing on the Promises. And that's what we're going to do. I want you all to be praying for Betty as she's dealing with this diagnosis of lesions in the brain. Be praying for her and the family as God and medicine goes ahead and does it. But ultimately, we're going to trust in the great physician, right? He holds all of us in his hand, am I right? And just stand on his promises. The promise of new life. Remember what we talked about the other week? We're all just sojourners, right? Just passing through here through life, okay? So have a great week in the Lord. I'm kind of just trying to figure out what to say. And just have a happy Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much, okay? And Laura might have some extra tofurkey, right? If anybody wants to try it. It's actually not bad. But eating turkey. But have an awesome week in Jesus. And remember, just take time to stop and give thanks for God and who he is. And don't let this crazy love stop. Now, some of you can meet for a couple more weeks if you want to. There's still stuff there. Next week, we're going to start kicking into some other things. I'm wrestling with a couple different things where God wants me to head in the next couple weeks. But we'll eventually get to Christmas in a couple weeks, like 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. All right, so go do your shopping. All right, have a great week in Jesus. Amen.